Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And it is 2 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And I'm trying to figure out... Whatever. We'll get there. It was a little loud in the cans there. Yeah. No, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if, for instance, you would like to jump into the chat room, as I am doing even as we speak. And lo and behold, yea, verily, and forsooth, there's Earther and Hoghead and new person. Hi, Hoghead. And Jeremy in Vermont, all capably moderated, and one of these... For the folks who were on time to the beginning of things this evening, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, a third stage guild navigator who has not folded space today to become Man Cave. Yes. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, reproductive freak. He's a freak. He's a super freak. Yeah. Yeah, I'll share it. Being as how this is a Titanic Tuesday and we celebrate Titanic acts of profound ignorance, I'll share that with you in a moment. You'll probably get as big a giggle as I did. Mm-hmm. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy in Vermont. Loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob. I do appreciate knowing that. No, Marty, Sparky's not low on spice. The man cave is a lot like, the man cave is roughly the temperature of the interior desert of Dune right now, if I understand correctly. Yeah. Oh, by the way, also at headonradionetwork.com, Sparky's going to fold space here in a little bit. Also at headonradionetwork.com, the little old tab called Contribute, and that is the tab that is the central point of how we keep this all on the air, because contrary to some people's opinion, there's nobody out there giving away free internet for maintaining a 24/7 stream and producing a radio show and, you know, paying all the bills here. No. More on that in a minute. So, again, I'm going to be gone the last week, and namely, you know, from Monday through Friday of next week. I'm going to be gone and on some stuff for Cold River Mountain Watch, MTR stuff. And so, consequently, we're trying to double up fundraising so as to, you know, not have everything, you know, like, turned off when I get back, which would be, without a doubt, a humongous bonus. Makes it ever so much easier to start doing the program when everything still works. And on filing under While Everything Still Works, I hope this does and continues to. The fine folks from the ISP were out on out with their bucket truck on the pole earlier today. It was It's always a little nerve-wracking when that happens. One of the two lines coming in here that runs all of this is supposed to be coming in at like 12 down and 1.5 up, and it was coming in at 6 down and not much up, about 0.5 up. So maybe that's what they were working on. They just left a little bit ago, and I haven't had a chance to run a speed test yet. So, as you may well know, we don't have advertising here. We don't seek advertising here. We also don't sell anything. Oh, and a big shout out. I mentioned later into the program last night that we are now a part of the FYI Nation. Now they're carrying the program live every evening, and thank you and welcome to that august body as they join in. Nikki and Tom and the rest of the crew. I found out looking at their Facebook page earlier today that, well, I'll be dipped. Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton has come out against the Keystone XL pipeline. Better late than never. Good for you for doing the right thing. So, good for her. Good for her indeed. Let's see. A couple of things to... Oh, and there's Labor Man having entered the room. Good evening, Labor Man, out there in the far reaches of New Mexico. Good evening indeed, land of enchantment. No, it is Titanic Tuesday on the horn. Those of you unfamiliar with, and we could have some people unfamiliar with the sort of order of the universe around here. Those of you unfamiliar with Titanic Tuesday, or Moran Monday for that matter, well, Moran Monday you learned about last night. Titanic Tuesday you find out about tonight. Titanic Tuesday is reserved for exemplars of Titanic intellect. You know, the kind of Titanic intellect that sees an iceberg and hollers, "Full steam ahead!" Yeah. It's so named after a statement made on right-wing radio over in Beckley, West Virginia, America's fifth smallest radio market. One morning when monotone Steve took a call in between reading the newspaper to his audience, took a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, who said, "Steve, how come it is, you reckon, that they is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the ocean." To which monotone Steve replied, "Well, caller." And that's really a little too expressive. You had to listen to him. He's not on the air anymore. You had to listen to him to really get the full je ne sais derp of his monotone. "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Yeah. Still no word on the movement of the Titanic sherbet dishes. So that's where Titanic Tuesday comes from, and we have several exemplars this evening. And I've got one queued up and ready to go that just, yes, yes indeed, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful moment. I mean, you're likely to chew through any number of hockey pucks over this one. Yeah, you might want to double around with the duct tape. Let's deal with an asshole first, though. This being the internet, we can say asshole. I don't get a lot of hate mail because we don't allow right wingers onto the program, but apparently every now and then one of the really 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 weird people on the left can filter over, and this guy's in a huff. Yeah. And his name's apparently Larry. The subject line: "You are such a phony. Let's save the, all caps, Earth, while you have four kids and a grandpa at 50. You want all the rest of us to do what you won't do as you beg money, reproductive freak." Reproductive freak. Bob Kincaid, reproductive freak. Couple skate, backwards skate, everybody dance. Reproductive freak. Apparently, this very cranky person who wrote at 2:15 a.m. Hates my children. Go figure. Yeah. So, Larry, don't go away in a huff. See what I did there? Just go away. Except, when did I ever say people shouldn't have children? Oh, wait, never. Yeah, okay. So I just thought I'd share that with you. We don't get too many weirdos around here. And as for that begging for money part, Larry in a huff. I mean, I'd prefer you went away in a Ford or a Chevy or. You know, maybe a Tesla. I mean, it's all electric after all. Nissan Leaf would be okay, but if you have to go away in a huff, that's okay. We'll understand. Of course, there's no advertising on this program. And advertising is the model for most of the for-profit media. Of course, we're not trying to make a profit here either. No, no, no. Not at all. I guess I was supposed to, I don't know, I'm kind of lost on that email. I was supposed to be a grandpa at like 12 or something. It's getting so confusing. It's kind of like that question I had on the insurance questionnaire a couple of days ago. Now, why my insurer wants to know about my health status, I don't know. It's none of their business. That's between me and the doctor, right? Or the not a doctor, as the case may be. But, it was a couple of days ago, and this really is Titanic thinking. It's beautiful in its own weird way. This from Roger. Thank you, Roger. Subject line, Larry. There's no I in breeder. Thanks, Obama. Yeah. No, but the for-profit media runs on advertising. And you may recall, what was it, Friday? I was talking about that story about Apple shaking the planet by allowing ad blockers to be sold in the App Store with the arrival of iOS 9. Well, I've got a little clarity on that, and it comes courtesy of one of my, one of our dearest and oldest friends, to wit, Dr. John, who, in addition to being the Horn's staff archaeologist, is also a brilliant journalist. John mentions that he heard the story of the nasty, nasty, nasty woman who said that, what did she say on Twitter? Katie McHugh over at that weird right-wing website that rhymes with light and fart. You remember Katie, don't you? She was the one who said, how exactly did she put it? Saying that slaves built America is like saying that cows built McDonald's. Yeah, that was it, among other things. And went on to say that native peoples in this hemisphere had never had anything resembling a culture or civilization, never built anything themselves. Only white people build things. Which reminded me to reach out to Katie via the program and ask her if she had a little time to discuss my Lord and Savior Xipe Totec's plan for her life, which you may recall involved flaying the skin off of her and letting a priest of Xipe Totec dance around in celebration of the dear one flayed. Dr. John writes, what a horrid woman. I wonder if she'd talk like that face to face. Twitter is a load of fun sometimes, but it also lets the absolute worst rise to the top. If rise is the right word, then I understand why you would question that, John. John continues, though, I think I can bring a little clarity to the story about ad blockers you talked about maybe Thursday. Maybe it was Thursday. I thought it was Friday. It all runs together after a while. Specifically, the weird comment by Jason Kotke. He's a fairly known, well-known blogger about media and technology. Largely uninteresting stuff to me, mostly commentary on stuff other people report. And that, I think, gets close to his point, though he stated it poorly. People are sort of knee-jerk anti-advertising. Hell, I am too, says John. But it serves a really crucial purpose in funding actual media. We can have a philosophical debate about whether that's right or not. You alluded to the historical model of supporting media, newspapers, through subscriptions. That's one way. Another is through direct reader support, like The Nation largely does. That's way closer to the Franklin model, but the thing is, when newspapers were supported only through subscription, they were out of reach of most people. It would be common for a wealthy and literate person to buy one copy and read it to the tavern to all the other folks in town. Ads, along with advances in printing technology, put newspapers within reach of pretty much anybody, starting around the beginning of the 20th century. I would add to that, it also served to increase literacy. Because if you follow and listen to Dr. Bill, you'll know that the beginning of the 20th century marks the beginning of an effort to make this at least a nominally literate nation. I mean, God, you go back to something like the Roman Empire and start moving forward from there. Literacy rates are running about 5% generally. Ancient Egypt, if you were trained as a scribe and learning the art of word knowing in ancient Egypt was no small accomplishment. So if you got to be a scribe, it meant that you would rise in the social hierarchy pretty quickly, because it's just kind of hard to memorize a million different pictograms. I mean, you think Mandarin's tough. So you've got the coming together of more widely available newspapers with a determined governmental effort toward literacy, and the one feeds the other. When I get that, and you know, it's not a my objection to it. Advertising is not a general overall objection. I mean, if we're going to deal with the free market, and it looks like we're going to for a considerable amount of time, if Joe's Market is selling potatoes at 2 cents a piece, and Sally's Market is selling potatoes at a penny a piece, well, Sally's going to want to tell you that, and so as to get a competitive edge over Joe, right? And you might want to pay the local paper, since we're probably going to use newspapers as the paradigm for this. You're probably going to pay the local paper to tell folks that. But from the infancy of advertising to advertising as we know it today, there is a great there's a great sea change. And frankly, the United States does not impose much in the way of truth in advertising. For instance, herbal hair growth remedies. I reference those from time to time. Not a word of truth in them. They probably don't grow hair. Or any of the other tripe that's hustled on right-wing radio. It doesn't do what it says it's going to do. I mean, Jesus, I got a story in the stacks here. I was kind of going to save it for tomorrow, but maybe not. We've been following the saga of Jim Baker and his food buckets. Yeah, potato soup in a 5-gallon bucket, only it's not potato soup in a 5-gallon bucket. It's a 5-gallon bucket with a little bit of potato soup dust at the bottom. And you add, I guess, the clean water that you've squirreled away for the Apocarev to it, and you've got a thin potato-like gruel. God only knows what happens with the chocolate pudding in a bucket. Yeah, that's true. Going back to the whole Katie McHugh thing, Jeremy in Vermont points out, technically, third-class beef and Dan Quayle's potatoes, that's potato with an E, built McDonald's. Yes. But advertising changed, and it developed its own industry, and hence part of the popularity of Mad Men. And of course, there's Edward Bernays, who I think I mentioned, who contributes significantly to the psychological aspect of advertising. And as opposed to simply saying, "Hey, our potatoes are cheaper than theirs," and they say, "Yeah, but well, we're selling bacon cheaper than you are." It's come a long way, baby. Yeah, see what I did there? Yeah. John continues, advertising also allowed newspapers to pay people beyond the single editorial reporter, printer, distro person, and journalism gradually became professionalized. It became something that could support a middle-class lifestyle. It still is that because of ads, but not because of all ads. According to data from Pew, newspaper ad revenues were right at $2 billion in 2014, about 80% from print and 20% from online. Total revenue is about half of what it was in 2004, and online total revenue has been steady since about 2006. That means while digital ad revenues has not actually been growing, it seems to have been because print revenue has been dropping. This explains the push by media companies into online advertising. It's not big, but it's not shrinking either. Now, people approach ads in print and online differently. Put another way, ads play different roles in the grammar of print and online media. In print, they're clearly separate things, and they just sit on a page. Online, they're, well, we all know what they are. The content is usually just as inane, but the ads are pushier. I would argue that the content is more inane. I mean, And I think that's the thing about so many online ads. I don't even know that they're real ads. Know what I mean? Doctors hate this miracle berry for weight loss. And then there's the picture of the piece of bread with little spores rising out of it that looks a little bit like a finger with a lot of warts on it. Yum, yum, under tooled leather. And I personally think that that's why ad revenues aren't much online. Because not many people are advertising much of anything. I mean, you know what? I'll watch a decent ad. And while we're discussing advertising, this is interesting. you know, I've mentioned a couple of times over the last week or so about the fact that I don't get Volkswagen's latest line of advertising. They had the one Passat ad where the two dudes in the diesel Passat got in arguing about music, and by the time they've gone through one tank of fuel there at the Mexican border speaking Spanish, because they decided to listen to a Spanish language tape, well, that ad went away, and it was replaced by three predatory old ladies sizing up and objectifying a young male, turning the whole objectification thing on its ear. I get that. And now the guys who are upset at each other over their one's hair and the fact that he's throwing a party, and they're using the online app tools inside built into every Volkswagen to figure out solutions to their problems. And it turns out that, well, how about that? Volkswagen has a little problem. Yeah. The head of Volkswagen in America issued a giant mea culpa, saying something along the lines of, "We have really screwed up." Because apparently Volkswagen used a piece of software that when it came time to bench test emissions in the lab of their vehicles, their diesel vehicles, and diesels are notorious for the amount of particulate matter that they put out, and according to my sources, particularly and primarily Dr. Michael McCauley at WVU, diesels are going to put out particulates at a much higher rate than a gasoline engine, just about no matter what you do to them. And consequently, a lot of the shine has gone off the diesel craze. I used to be one of those people who was fond of it because of the, you know, gas the fuel mileage. It's not gas. But it turns out that when you bench tested, because of the software involved, when you bench tested the diesel engine that Volkswagen uses, you got a much lower emissions rating than when you actually drove it around on the road, and that's kind of fraudulent, and they got busted. And so Volkswagen is having to set aside a boatload of euros to cover the, to cover the fraud. Because they're going to have to fix the software thingy, I guess, in all the cars. And the EPA is not happy, nor should they be. Mm-mm. Again, though, advertising. So to get back to what Dr. John wrote, I didn't mean to editorialize in the middle of it, but it's, I don't have Dr. John here for a phone call, so I talked to the email. So back to Kottke. I think his point was, don't hate the ads, hate the format. If you don't want ads to exist, you're saying, even if you don't really understand or mean it, that you don't really want the stuff that ads allow, reporting, salaries, job security, etc. Now, Kottke said that really poorly, and do I agree, because he was because I think the way he said it was, you know, if you don't like the ads, then don't read anything online. And John says, I think you could quibble with him. See subscription media, the BBC model, nonprofit media ownership, etc. I certainly agree that ads are necessary for the way that most journalism is set up now. They're what allows people to pay a dollar to read my work each day, rather than $75. I hate paywalls because I want more readers, but they do emphasize that what I'm doing has an inherent value that is in the community's best interest to support. That's the underlying trust that exists between local media and audience. Emphasis on the word local. Our work has a role in preserving public democracy, a word I use advisedly, and I know we all know why John says that. So we're going to act in good faith to present the events, ideas, and issues that we judge to be significant to the local audience. There are huge and obvious holes in what I wrote here. For instance, corporate ownership pushes requirements that may not fit the needs of community while skimming profits away from it, but I appreciate your thoughts on ads and media, and I wanted to contribute a bit. Signed, John. Thank you, John. Thank you very kindly. We all benefit by input like that. And the different, and that raises up an entirely different sort of discussion or sub-discussion, if you will, of the difference between local and national. I mean, look, there's benefit, you know, I mean, you're sitting, Emery and Marvelline are sitting there just like they do every day, listening to Rush Limbaugh on the for-profit terrestrial radio box. And there's different kinds of ads. There's national availabilities, and then there's the little availability in the ad break that Rush owns. And then there's the local availability, and that's where the radio station sells its ads. And let's say the ad in that break says that down there to Stan's Texaco, they got a free car wash with a fill-up on Fridays. It's valuable information. Get your car washed when you fill up on Fridays. That's gonna drive Stan's business on Friday down to the Texaco. Now, you could never do that on a national basis unless every Texaco was going to do that on Friday. But that's the difference between local and national. The other difference between local and national being, how about those ads for Grumman? Have you seen those? They tend to run especially on Morning Joe, and it tells you a lot about Morning Joe's audience. The Morning Joe audience is first and foremost tiny, itsy bitsy, eeny weeny, almost incalculably small. But the power brokers like Morning Joe, and that itsy bitsy teeny weeny audience is composed largely of people who like to hear their name mentioned by Joe and Mika, you know, who Charlie Pierce refers to as Squint and the Meat Puppet. And so consequently, players who like to influence the power brokers tend to advertise there. So even though they have a minuscule audience, they're selling ads to Grumman. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Prohl, Mr. and Ms. Prohl, Mrs. and Mrs. Prohl, Ms. and Ms. Prohl, Mr. and Mr. Prohl, let me ask you, when's the last time you went down to the store and picked yourself up a can of Grumman pork and beans? Or bought yourself a quart of Grumman 10W30? Or compared the Grumman radials to the Goodyear radials? Or bought Grumman anything? Yeah, never. Because Grumman doesn't sell anything that you buy. Grumman buys advertising on Morning Joe to influence the power people whom Grumman wants to have appropriate money out of the federal treasury to help them build things that will make brown people from a great height go all dead. Yeah, Boeing, same. Hey, Earther from the chat room writing, you mean they're not going to buy a new Boeing 767? Well, no, unless they're like Creflo Dollar in the tax-free religion industry, they're not. Mm-mm. Just like if you're watching over at Chicken Noodle News, you're not likely to take a ride on the Burlington Northern Railway because, you know, they don't carry passengers. Because we don't really have much in the way of passenger rail in the United States. I mean, you know, come on, Amtrak? Kind of sad. No. So there's advertising and there's advertising. And in one sense, this is something the ad geniuses have yet to figure out. There's actually more advertising value in a broadcast like this than there is in a terrestrial broadcast, because here's the fun part. A newspaper can know how many newspapers it prints and how many newspapers get bought. But it can never know which parts of the newspapers get read. radio and television for years and years and years relied on statistical models, you know, Nielsen, Arbitron, those folks, of who listened or viewed at any given time, but they could never know who that person was. They could only guess statistically at identities. With internet broadcasting, things become dramatically more real. Now, I don't want anybody getting all paranoid and thinking that I've got a running list sitting here looking at who's listening and where they are and what they're at. No. But you can see, you know, connected from, disconnected at, all of that kind of stuff. And you can target advertising to them. And as some people have found out very early on, it can be very, very good if your goal is to actually move product, as opposed to the traditional broadcast goal of delivering your viewers or listeners who think that they're just watching or viewing a television or listening to a radio program, of delivering them to the hands of the advertisers. And there's a big difference. And so I don't know why it is, but internal advertising inside a radio program that's internet-based actually has far greater potential to deliver value to the person spending the advertising dollar than it does with a terrestrial broadcaster. Try to explain that to them, though. Broadcasting is like some sort of arcane art that is not very well understood. I mean, witness the fact that there are still people out there doing remote broadcasts using ISDN lines. Ancient. So, going back to Larry, who's in a huff, who doesn't want anybody to reproduce except people of whom Larry approves. Wow, the nerve it takes to say something like that. Carol just observed a moment ago, maybe he heard you say it on Carly's dead baby tape. You know, the one where Obama clubbed it to death like a baby seal that didn't exist. Exactly. Right. Steve with a note says, Grumman, huh? I just bought me a B2 down to the Safeway. What you talking about, Bob? Randy pointing out, also, the Petroleum Broadcasting System runs ads for Boeing, National Mining Association, etc. Oh, but that's not advertising. That's not sponsorship because, well, they're ad-free. Another lie. So, that's why, you know, and I take a little umbrage at the idea that I'm begging for money. You don't know begging, Larry, if you think this is begging. This is a simple statement. Either we fund the horn, or the horn goes away. No, not called home to Jesus like Oral Roberts said, or any of that silliness. No business about, gosh, we've got to make a down payment on the Gulfstream. Well, I don't know, the Boeing 767 over at Creflo Dollar Ministries. No, simple prosaic stuff like, well, it does take electricity to do this. And look, I hit the lottery. This place is going to be solarized, and it's going to have its own wind turbine. And we're going to tell Appalachian Power to kiss our foot, and there will never be another lump of coal burned creating the electricity that drives this program. Because as we go bravely and boldly further into the 21st century, with every passing year, and we're up toward, you know, as we get up toward the 30s, That's where the U.S. That's where the United States Information Agency, or Energy Information Administration, says that we're going to continue. The world, not just us, the world is going to continue to burn more and more coal up into the 2030s, and then it'll level off and slowly begin to decline. And the question is, will that be too late for the species? And it's a question that has a rather terrifying answer. But that having been said, in 19 minutes before the hour, we try to raise funds to run this program. We finished up $150 short last evening, which makes tonight's $400 goal, because remember, we're trying to cover a week out, $550. But good news, there is a challenge courtesy of Chris in Germany. This will make a total of five that she has made, an offer to double your contribution. Your five becomes 10, your 10, 20, 20, 40, 40, 80, 50, 100, 60, 120. See how good I cipher? All the way up to doubling the first $100 that comes in, which would be very, very helpful insofar as we left her challenge on the table last night. Now, I don't know if Larry, who's in a huff, is listening, but if he is, you know, sitting there picking his teeth with his toenail clippings, that kind of thing. Let me differentiate for you, Larry, the difference between simply saying, we have to keep this program on, this is how we keep this program on the air, versus begging, oh, Jesus, please! Please, God Almighty, please! Oh, please, Jesus, send money! That's begging, Larry, you dimwit. But it is. It really is Titanic Tuesday on the horn, and I want to start here. Now, Stephen Colbert replacing David Letterman on The Late Show seems to have hit the ground in stride, and is doing a magnificent job. I need to do a little. Maybe I need to just check in. I mean, I remember when Letterman first started, and I was a much younger person then. Damn my parents for having me. Reproductive freaks! And back then, if you didn't watch Letterman the night before, you might as well have been walking around either mute or just with a piece of duct tape across your mouth, because you had nothing to say, because it was just that hip. Well, I'm not quite so hip anymore. Grandpa at 50. Well, no, dumbass, I was actually a grandpa at 44, if you want to get right down to it. But whatever. One last thing before we move into the Stephen Colbert. Demographics and wanting people to do things at a given time. And I mean, this is Titanic intellect. So I mentioned this earlier, but then I got sidetracked because this is 3 hours of, I mean, this is one long sidetrack. Let's face facts. It's sidetracks with sidetracks. Tangents upon tangents. So my health insurer, who is not my doctor, and therefore has no goddamn business whatsoever with data about my health, sends me this four-page questionnaire. You know, they want 4 pages. They want the time it takes to fill this out of my life, my finite life that I ain't getting back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, you know, how tall are you? What do you weigh? paper, plastic, lasagna or chili, you know, all weird shit. And then I get a little further down the page. And as Dave Barry used to say in his column, and I am not making this up, we get down to a section that is, and remember, somebody who makes a whole lot more money than you and I are ever going to make has made up this questionnaire, has been paid by this health insurer to make up this questionnaire. And so it comes down to this section called smokers, and it's in all caps, of course. So at least it's not bold. At least it doesn't say, smokers, you goddamn pariahs on the face of the planet, or anything like that. It just says, smokers! Okay. Question one. If 12 years or older, do you smoke? No, really, that's the question. If 12 years or older, do you smoke? Because I guess this genius health insurance form writer doesn't care about the 11-year-old smokers or the 5-year-old smokers. When I posted it to my Facebook page, I had a couple of responses of people saying, you know, my daddy started smoking when he was 5. And remember, once upon a time, the tobacco industry encouraged people to smoke as early and often as possible. What was the ads in the 50s? 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Territon over other cigarettes. Yeah. If 12 years or older, do you smoke? How many different ways can we begin to approach that question? And just how idiotic it is. No, Johnny, you're 11. You don't get to answer that question. Your privacy matters. Then there's the question of how many 12-year-olds fill this form out. And the question of, what sort of determination was made in the bowels of some data assemblage place such that 12 was the cutoff number? Oh, wait. You're already 12 and you smoke? Pig! You're doomed! Doomed! After I read that question, I just sort of scanned on through there to find out, if 3 years or older, do you inject the marijuanas? Is 12 years old the demographic cutoff for sufficient literacy to read the form? God almighty, the stupidest. And of course, again, this is not a question from my physician, my health care provider. This is a question from my health insurance provider, who apparently think that they are entitled to every bit as much information as my physician has. And consequently, the phone call that I made saying, who the hell do you people think you are? I have not received a call back yet. I like to say, smoker, yes, opium. Or, smoker? No, but I breathe a lot of exhaust. I mean, my healthcare provider has a valid reason for knowing who smokes and who doesn't, because people who smoke tend to have diseases and maladies that people who don't smoke don't have. The insurance company, though, no, they can write them off. But anyway, like I said, the Late Show, Stephen Colbert has hit his stride. I mean, hit the ground running. And I guess I'm not going to take a lot of issue with this, except some. So last night, Monday night, they put him on Monday. Yeah. Stephen Colbert welcomed Texas Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future King of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the Canadian who is running for president. The Canadian-born, no, let's put that more accurately. The Canadian-born United States presidential candidate. There. For some reason or another, he was also allowed to become an American citizen, and he held dual citizenship for a while, till people noticed and started going, "Hey, Rafaelito, you're Canadian, but you're running for president." And somehow or another, but that canyon didn't work with a lot of people. I mean, it's a creepy statistic, the number of people who think the president of the United States is a secret Kenyan Muslim. But it's among a certain demographic that you sort of expect to be stupid. Right. But anyway, I don't know. I guess, damn it. Scott Walker bailed out too early. He could have been on late night television too. Or has he? Or maybe he's content just to be on that, go and talk to Elizabeth Hasselbeck every now and then on Fox, or maybe be on one of those Newsmuck programs. Anyway, he's not going to get to be on The Late Show, I guess. Tell me about the rabbits, George. And that's right, Scott. Think about the rabbits. Think about the farm, Scott. You can almost see the rabbits, can't you, Scott? They sent him off to live in a farm in Wisconsin. So God only knows why you would have a theocratic clown like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future King of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, on The Late Show. I mean, did they have to disinfect? I don't know. Just to get all the theocracy miasma off of it. Well, I viewed this clip earlier today, and I'm not going to subject you to all 4 minutes and 31 seconds of it. I think we can say with some degree of certainty that CBS did a really, really good job when they decided to tap Stephen Colbert to replace David Letterman. He brings a certain grace, as well as his well-honed comic timing and sense to the program. And, as he proves in this clip, manages to be able to be genial and graceful and not go flying across the desk just to try to strangle the miserable life out of this Canadian-born freak. So let's pick it up with Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future King of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, explaining how he is above it all, how he, even though people hate and despise him for the sickening theocrat that he is, how he's above all that. Shall we? Do let's.
People are fed up. What they want is jobs and economic growth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned before, you know, you said, Cruz, you're a very conservative guy. Listen, what I'm fighting for are simple principles. Live within our means. Mm-hmm. Stop bankrupting our kids and grandkids.
I just have to ask. Where was he with that stop bankrupting our kids and grandkids when the vast majority of this goddamn deficit was run up by, dim leader. Yeah. He's only worried about Kenyan Muslim deficits, right? Right. And, of course, he betrays a profound lack of understanding of economics in general when he says that, uses that whole bankrupt our kids line, because the United States can't go bankrupt. As our pal Benedict in the chat room has pointed out ever so many times, we kind of print our own money. It makes a big difference. Makes us not even a little bit like Greece. Even a tiny bit. No. So, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, wants us to stop bankrupting our children. Anyway, back to him.
People are fed up. What they want is jobs and economic growth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned before, you know, you said, Cruz, you're a very conservative guy. Listen, what I'm fighting for are simple principles. Live within our means. Mm-hmm. Stop bankrupting our kids and grandkids. Follow the Constitution.
You know, the Constitution that only exists inside the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, Canadian-born, I got to remember to add that in there, Canadian-born anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz. That Constitution. And by the way, when he says live within our means, that means you live within your means. This guy would rather be nailed to a cross, well, he might actually enjoy it, he's that weird, than, you know, ask for the 1% to pay their fair share for everything that they get, because they get a hell of a lot more out of America than we do. Without a doubt. They get their wealth protected by the most high-tech, advanced military in the world. They get their property, you know, they have access to everything that America has to offer. The greatest healthcare system in the world. They get it. You don't. So you, not we, who are you talking about, we, bub? By we, he means you live within your means, but anyway.
And no gay marriage.
Oh! You see what Colbert did there, right? Right? Because this is what's going to make this so titanic.
He said, Cruz, you're a very conservative guy. Listen, what I'm fighting for are simple principles. Live within our means. Mm-hmm. Stop bankrupting our kids and grandkids. Follow the Constitution.
And no gay marriage.
And no gay marriage. Because, see, this guy, Cruz... I agree with Carol, who noted every time that son of a bitch gets on TV, I get that funny feeling in the pit of my stomach, like when I'm in the presence of a pervert. Yeah, yeah. And he's so slimy. Oh, he's just awful. As you listen to the attempts to dodge that observation, and no gay marriage, and you heard it, to see it is a beautiful thing too. Stephen Colbert just sits there and says it with a completely straight face, not accusatory. He just let him blow himself up with his the Canadian born pomposity. I mean, how can you be born in Canada and be pompous? I mean, honestly, what did you people do? Just blowing himself up, and then, and no gay marriage. This is where it gets titanic.
Conservative guy, listen, what I'm fighting for are simple principles. Live within our means. Mm-hmm. Stop bankrupting our kids and grandkids. Follow the Constitution.
And no gay marriage. And no gay marriage.
Well, no, actually, let's be precise.
I think that's pretty precise. No gay marriage. He has been unequivocal about it. You know, because when the homosexuals can get all married up, that's what causes earthquakes and volcanoes and floods. Not godly, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian fracking. Fracking doesn't poison water. Gay marriage does.
Under the Constitution.
Yes.
Oh, here it's going to get fun. And even Stephen Colbert knew it. Yes. Because Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, a Canadian-born anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, he's a constitutional scholar. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
And no gay marriage.
Well, no, actually, let's be precise. Under the Constitution,
yes,
marriage is a question for the states. If you want to change the marriage laws...
Doesn't mention marriage in the Constitution.
Oops. You kind of like, Jesus hates homosexuality! Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality.
We have had a country for over 200 years. Yeah.
So you may be right, but it doesn't mention marriage in the Constitution. You believe
and
that marriage...
And that's exactly why it's a question for the states, because the 10th Amendment says if it doesn't mention it, it's a question for the states. That's in the Bill of Rights. Everything that is not mentioned is left to the states. So if you want to change the marriage laws...
I'm asking what you want.
I believe in democracy. I believe in democracy, and I we should trust...
Guys, however you feel, he's my guest, so please don't boo him.
I don't think...
Wow.
We should entrust governing our society to 5 unelected lawyers in Washington. Why would you possibly hand over the rights of 320 million Americans to 5 lawyers in Washington to say, we're going to decide the rules that govern you? If you want to win an issue, go to the ballot box and win at the ballot box. That's the way the Constitution was designed.
Yeah. Except. I mean, there's nothing, I tell you, goddamn nothing in the Constitution about gay marriage. There's nothing about marriage at all in the Constitution. That's true. Absolutely true. You know what else there's nothing in the Constitution about, or there wasn't originally? Equal protection of the law. Maybe that's because the aristocrats and slave owners who came up with the Constitution sort of assumed that to be the case, that everyone would be treated equally under the law. And by everyone, they meant white people. And male white people. And male property-owning white people. Amendment 14, Section 1, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. How about that? Nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny it to any person within its jurisdiction, the equal protection of the laws. You can see that, and that's just Section 1. It breaks down into several digestible bites. Oh, by the way, it's no surprise that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, Canadian-born, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, it's no surprise that he would despise the Equal Protection Clause and forget that that's there, because he also hates that business about... all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. He hates that, too, because that's what the Republicans are fond of referring to as birthright citizenship. Because here's the fun part. They want to get rid of birthright citizenship, so them raping Mexicans that get born here and then get to be citizens, so that we can stop that. Yeah, only one problem. In order to take away birthright citizenship from out of the 14th Amendment, you're going to have to kind of admit that you don't think people who are, in this case, you know, rapist Mexicans, you're going to kind of have to admit that you don't think they're persons. And in light of the fact that this amendment to the Constitution was ratified in the immediate aftermath of a little dust-up that killed 300,000 Americans and 300,000 traitors, well, that little dust-up had to do with whether or not the people who had a high melanin content in their skin were, you know, persons, and hence the use of the word. All right. So he hates that, too. But he also hates the Equal Protection Clause of Section 1 of Amendment 14. Because, see, while the Constitution doesn't say anything about marriage, what the Constitution does do via the 14th Amendment, applied to the states as well as the federal government, what the Constitution does is says that every law passed throughout the United States of America, no matter by whom, be it the federal government, the state government, county government, municipality, borough, village, township, neighborhood, to the extent that the body enacting the law, statute, regulation, ordinance, what have you, is an element of government, that law must apply equally to everyone. And for as long as we have people who are gay, lesbian, the full panoply of human sexuality, to say that we're going to have a set of laws that apply only to heterosexual couples just kind of spits in the face of the 14th Amendment. And so in that clip, you find out just about everything you ever wanted to know about the monstrous manifest degree of dishonesty that informs the very essence that is the being of Ted Cruz. Because while it's easy to say, well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing about marriage, and it says that marriage is going to be left, since it doesn't say anything about marriage in the Constitution, that means marriage is left to the states. And that is absolutely true. There's nothing about insurance in the Constitution. That means insurance laws are left to the states. There's nothing about traffic, and that means traffic laws are left to the states. But you can't have an insurance law that says only white people can have insurance. You can't have traffic laws that say only white folks and black folks can have driver's licenses, but not Pacific Islanders. Because then it loops back around. It's a flow chart, for God's sakes. It loops back around. You know, does your law violate the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause? If no, proceed. If yes, law goes away. Earther, how about a law that says Jews can turn left on red? Nope, sorry, equal protection. Hindus can make U-turns. No. Baptists don't have to use the front door at the liquor store. Yeah, Carol notes, I didn't hear them bitch when those lawyers in D.C., those five unelected lawyers said abortion clinics couldn't have... No, actually, it was nine of them, wasn't it? Yes, it was. It was a 9-0 decision. That was the sweet granny McGookin, Glickin, Glackin, Grockin case. What was her name? Sweet Granny McCullen. Wasn't that it? Yes. It said Sweet Granny McCullen could assault the living daylights out of any woman going to a women's reproductive health care facility. Yeah, Carol's right. I didn't hear them bitch about those unelected lawyers when abortion clinics couldn't have a safe perimeter. And 36 states plus D.C. had already legalized same-sex marriage. They only bitch about unelected lawyers when they don't like the result. Bingo. Toaster. Game. Set. Match. But there, I mean, that's just such a perfect example of Titanic intellect. Getting all wrapped up in the 10th Amendment. By the way, it was the 10th Amendment that the white folks used back in the struggle for civil rights. I don't say nothing in the Congress. What we do with the niggers is what we need is, I mean, the 10th Amendment, it ain't nothing in the Constitution. And again, ignoring the 14th Amendment. They've been pissed off about it ever since it was ratified over their objections. Exactly. So it's 13 minutes past the hour. It's time to take a little break. We got the Green News Report on the way. And then, of course, your calls. The lines are open. 304-574-8178. Or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn. And get in any way you see fit. Okie doke. Okie doke. So, Steve pointing out, sorry, but Canadians are pompous and passive aggressive. Oh, you are in so much trouble, Steve. And I understand. Steve said, I love you, but can you play the clip? You have no idea what a challenge it is. Just to let these right-wing asshats yammer on in their ignorance. But yes, we did get through it, so I trust we're good. We're not even anywhere near done with the Titanic Tuesday Titanic intellects. Oh no, we're not. But we are at the conversation radio portion of the program. By the way, some good things have happened in the interim. Thank you, Bob, down in Texas, for meeting Chris's challenge this evening. And thank you to Carol, who said, I just sent $28.13, so fuck you, Larry. Thank you, Carol, and thank you for the fine sentiment there. And that's true, Carol. Ted Cruz also wants to outlaw Venn diagrams. They're not mentioned in the Constitution either. Mercy. Oh, let's see. So, like I said, little break. your calls. Green News Report on the way. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio. Thank you also going out to Thomas, our buddy Jug of Punch. We're on track now to get a regular evening's fundraising in. The first 200, well, the regular evening's fundraising was taken care of by the challenge, and the next 200 we're on the way to because we have, between Carol and Thomas, we have, oh, damn it, here we go. We have $21.87. $21.87 to go. Thanks, y'all. We may just make it. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Reproductive freak!
People were jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. People were jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. I was on that cruise. It was sailing on. I was feeling fine. People were jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. People were jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. While the crews were sailing, the musicians they were playing, the singers they were singing. It was a mixture of melody. It was a mixture of music. It was a mixture of song. We're jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. Everyone, yes, they were dancing. Everyone, yes, they were shouting. Yes, they cruise once a year. Number one cabin were jamming. Number two cabin were jamming. Number three cabin were jamming. We're jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. Vibes, it was together. It was one nice time together. People were talking and laughing together. We're jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. Number four, cabin were jamming. Number five, cabin were jamming. Number six, cabin, we're jamming. We're jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. Up by the stern, everything could be heard. Straight to the bow, everything could be heard. Merchandise selling, people were buying. We're jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. Annabelle, she was jamming on the cruise. People jamming, there is nothing to lose. This cruise, it carried no rules. We're jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. Number seven, cabin, we're jamming. Number eight, cabin, we're jamming. Number nine, cabin, we're jamming. We're jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jam cruise. While the crews were heading to the dock, everything just started to rock. Everyone, they started to flash. We're jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jam cruise.
Number 10, cabin were jamming. Number 11, cabin were jamming. Number 12, cabin were jamming. Were jamming, 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 jamming. People were jamming, jamming. My first time jamming on the crew. Everything was going so smooth.
It's Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015.
Volkswagen is full on in crisis mode.
Volkswagen caught red-handed cheating on pollution standards.
Exxon was on the cutting edge of science 40 years ago on climate change, and they ended up instead leading the denial and clouding of public perceptions of science.
Exxon once thought about saving mankind, but funded climate change denial instead.
With this in mind, I will suspend my campaign.
The climate-denying Koch brothers' favorite presidential candidate drops out. Plus...
Yeah, I'm Catholic, and he could stay home. He's in the wrong country.
Pope Francis is in the U.S. to talk morality and climate, and Republicans freak out.
All of those freakouts and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and... Trumpy comment.
How many people here believe in global warming? Do you believe in global warming? Who believes in global warming? Who believes in global warming? Who believes in global warming? Raise your hand. Wow. Not much, huh? Do you have your hand up? Little? No? No. Nobody? One person?
The brain trust at Donald Trump events remains remarkable. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, just a remarkable story concerning Volkswagen in a week of remarkable stories already, frankly.
Yes, the U.S. Department of Justice has now launched a criminal investigation into Volkswagen Motors after the German carmaker admitted over the weekend that it installed defeat devices into 500,000 so-called clean diesel cars since 2009. The software gave false readings during emissions testing, according to Bloomberg auto industry analyst Hans Nichols.
From 2009 to 2015, having a so-called defeat device, this is something software that monitors when the car is being tested. When it tests, it emits less emissions. When it actually is out on the road, the particles per unit 10 to 40 times bigger than what it had been. Volkswagen is full on in crisis mode.
All of the affected cars are being recalled. Volkswagen CEO has personally apologized. Sales of Volkswagen diesel cars have been suspended in the U.S., and now the company could face fines up to $18 billion.
What the hell were these people thinking? They thought they could get away with this?
Yes, they did.
Amazing.
Meanwhile, another new study confirms that air pollution kills millions. Researchers at UCLA used new data to calculate that outdoor air pollution from burning fossil fuels kills 3 million people every year. The vast majority of those deaths are in China and India, but air pollution kills 54,000 people every year in the U.S. alone.
Yeah, maybe so, but Donald Trump and his followers don't think that's a problem.
Yeah, I consider climate change to be not one of our big problems. I consider it to be not a big problem at all.
So, move on.
In politics, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker on Monday dropped out of the 2016 Republican presidential race. Funded by fossil fuel interests like the Koch brothers, Walker is a climate action denier. As governor, he blocked attempts to reduce emissions and weakened Wisconsin's environmental standards.
So sad. So sorry to see him go.
Oil giant Exxon knew in 1977 that burning fossil fuels would cause dangerous global warming. A new investigation by Inside Climate News and PBS Frontline, based on decades of internal documents and interviews with former employees, have found Exxon's own scientists warned Exxon about the dangers of man-made global warming, but rather than heeding those warnings, top Exxon executives chose instead to change direction, giving millions of dollars to create and fund the climate change denial industry, which has successfully blocked any action over the last 40 years that might affect Exxon's profits. Here's former Exxon scientist Richard Wertheimer.
If Exxon had been and a supportive participant in the debate about carbon dioxide and climate change, it would have been much easier to get agreement among countries. It would have helped a great deal.
Finally, Pope Francis is in the United States this week to address a joint session of Congress and the United Nations General Assembly, in part to make the moral case for action on climate change. But Republican Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona says that although he is a proud Catholic, he will boycott the Pope's speech and calls climate science, quote, a fool's errand.
And that guy would know. For much more on today's stories and all of them that we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Twenty-seven minutes past the hour as we recommence the conversation. And, hey, thank you to Glenn. Glenn took us a little bit closer to knocking down the hole that we are in. And, Glenn, I think this constitutes, Carol, I think this constitutes, this here may mean war. We have only $11 to go to the next $100 mark, only 11, because apparently Glenn's not as enamored of loose change and the gazintas and the ciphering. You know what I mean? Yeah. But so there we go. $10, and let's see, that would take us down to $2.50 to go to catch up with the deficit from last night. So thank you very kindly, Glenn. Let's run over to the Skype line where Vince, whom we have not heard from in a very long time, is standing by. Vince, it's awfully good to talk to you.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
You know, I'm among the living, so I'm not complaining.
I can't complain either. Been doing pretty good up here up in Michigan. So, hey, if you got a few minutes, while we're on the subject of Titanic everything, I'd like to talk about some of the Titanic egos we got running around in our state legislature right now.
Oh, up in Michigan?
Oh, yes.
Oh, do please. This ought to be rich.
Well, you guys probably, I mean, this has been national news. This is shameful. I can't think of his name. The guy who does the Last Week Tonight show on HBO. What's his name again?
John Oliver. John Oliver, thank you.
He actually did an exposé on my parents, my sister, my brother. This guy has an office I drive by every time I go up to my parents' house. He's their actual state legislature. And just to give you a little bit of a history on it, the guy's name is Todd Corser. He is a Tea Party Republican who was elected. I want to say he was elected this term, January 1st. And he made national news because it turns out that one of his staffers came out and he had been having an affair. Stop me if you've heard this one before.
You mean like two Republican philanderers walk into a bar? Or two Tea Party philanderers.
And bear in mind that just to heap hypocrisy upon hypocrisy, of course, his entire campaign was done around the concept of family values and, you know, stopping the gay agenda. And, I mean, that was his whole shtick, and he got elected on it. Beat the Democratic person who was running for the same seat 55.1% to 44.9%. Lapeer County, where my parents live, tends to skew just a little bit on the conservative side as opposed to where I am down in Detroit, where it tends to be more liberal. Anyway, so he basically got brought into the news because he apparently was having an affair with another representative who represents, I want to say somewhere over near Lansing, but I can't remember the exact place. Her name is Cindy Gamrat.
And what and, a and what a name. What a name.
I know, right? So they were having an affair, and if that's not bad enough, I mean, let's face it, Bob, affairs in the legislature, be it state or local, I mean, that's barely enough to make the 5 o'clock news. Because, I mean,
because I'm trying to remember where it was, but there was another one, and I'm not taking away from Courser Gamrat, which sounds like some sort of evil, I don't know, law firm or Wall Street hedge fund or Courser Gamrat. But there was another pair of philandering right wingers who, and it was straight out, it was something straight out of a John Prine song. You remember the John Prine song, Dear Abby? Where he says, with her hair up in curlers and her pants to her knees, and they're caught by the cops, and it's right. Signed, just married. Well, these people, these Republicans were already married.
Yes.
And they were caught in the back seat of the car discussing important policy matters.
Of course.
And only it was his pants that were down. And so they turned around and said, well, we're going to file ethics complaints against that there policeman. Only it turned out they really did have the goods, and his pants really were down, and they really were being, Well, they were caught in flagrante delicto, which is Latin for, in the backseat of the car with their pants off.
What Courser did put that to shame. How this all got exposed, and I mean, this is national news, so some of the listeners may already be aware of this. I apologize for the little bit of history lesson here, but basically what happened is that he got one of his staffers to start running around trying to start a rumor that he was having gay sex paid for with a prostitute. Now, this was something Courser was trying to spread. And he actually, the staffer actually recorded him saying this. And he basically was saying the idea was to inoculate the herd because it was going to be so outrageous. And of course, he would be able to debunk it. I mean, there was going to be evidence planted and everything. So that when the actual news of the affair broke, no one would believe it because it would just be kind of like, oh, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. What a lot of people do not know, because the national news is kind of glossing over this fact, is this is not the first time he had actually done that. Do you know how he...
No, stop. Wait a minute. What?
Okay. I said earlier that I didn't just say this just for the fact of saying it. Towards the time that his election was running, they were almost neck and neck. Do you know how he got to be almost 10 points ahead of his opponent?
No.
About 2 weeks prior to the election coming out, there was a whole bunch of literature just spread at random all around downtown Lapeer accusing him of being a child molesting pedophile.
Really? That's a selling point now in Tea Party land?
He took to the airwaves, put ads out. I mean, it was a big thing about how, oh my God, Margaret DeLuca, I think, was the person who was the Democrat running against him. And he took to the airwaves about, my opponents will go to no ends of the earth, will pull out no expense to slander me and to tarnish my name. And it turns out he's the one who actually went and spread the literature to rile up his base so that he could then turn around and was talking about, oh, they're attacking me, they're persecuting me. And it worked. He got elected. So this wasn't the first time he had done it, and that's not widely known.
Part I knew, that one I don't.
Yeah, no. That was not the first time he had pulled that off. It just didn't work so well for him the second time around because the staffer was like, yeah, no. This ain't some little itty-bitty thing going on anymore. So, the only reason it came to light about the gay prostitute thing was because the staffer had outed him. But no, this has been his MO for quite some time. But that's not even the end of it. There was this big, huge brouhaha. Of course, anybody who's following the news knows that the way this all supposedly ended was the Michigan legislature ended up having ethics hearings, because it turns out they were using, of course, taxpayer resources and everything to fund all of this crap.
Naturally.
And
because they're fiscal conservatives.
Of course. So him and Gamrat got brought to the Michigan Ethics Committee equivalent is, and they basically started taking votes to try and get him out. Well, the first vote failed, and the second vote failed, funnily enough, because the Democrats wouldn't vote to evict him because they just thought the whole thing was hilarious.
Yeah, they wanted the teabaggers and the Republicans to wear it for a little while, get some mileage on it. Yeah,
I mean, say what you want about it. It was an interesting political theater. But anyways, it finally, you know, the writing was on the wall. And early in the morning, at like 5 o'clock in the morning, just before they were getting ready to pull out another vote, Corser resigned. And then they eventually voted to expel Gamrat for the same reason, because she had been caught doing crap she was not supposed to, and, you know, it was just a whole thing.
Right, and at which point this thing should kind of dry up and blow away, right?
You would think so.
You would be wrong. Guess
who's running in the special elections?
Of course they are! Shame is not in the teabagger vocabulary.
Yeah, so they voted in and they filed their paperwork. They're both going to run again. Of course, it's because the voters should have this final say. It's not up to this elected body of my peers to say I'm not fit to serve. That's the line they're running.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny because the legislature is like, okay, can they do this? And unfortunately, the attorney for, you know, who handles that level of stuff for them came back and said, well, there's nothing in the Constitution of the state that says they can't. Now, that being said, there's nothing that says you guys have to seat them either. So, I mean, this is just looking to be just round one. It's looking to get particularly interesting going on. And
how many bajillions of dollars will this cost the Michigan taxpayers all to?
But these guys can't sit around for long enough. You know, we can sit here and we can debate these two philandering idiots all day long. There are still potholes I can go swimming in all over the roads. Bob, that is the worst thing. I've moved up here. I never thought that you could have roads this bad in a first world country. I mean, sometimes I think I'm in Syria, you know, bombed out portions of it. The roads
This is one of those American road signs that we've talked about. You're halfway to gravel.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. You know, and then switching gears for a second, we've also got this, you know, national stage crazy fest of Kim Davis going on, I think is her name. She's the crazy person over in Kentucky who's doing the whole marriage license thing.
Yeah, Sister Clark Kim.
How does she expect that she can remove the name of the county? I mean, if this was just about her name, she could remove her name. Fine. Fantastic. Whatever. I mean, they're still signed. They're still notarized.
They only know. Only not.
She's gonna sit here and she's going to do all this and try and, you know, I don't understand how if the only way it makes sense for her to do it to the marriage licenses, what she's doing is if she's trying to make it so that it's impossible to verify them elsewhere, thus making them invalid. I'm waiting for the judge to come and slick her back so hard it ain't even funny. She'll get whiplash.
Well, it's interesting you would bring her up because the original notice of hearing for her had her going back into court, I think, today.
Really? I was not aware of that.
Because at least we were discussing this last week, Vince, because, you know, she got caught dummying up the forms, and that's actually not legal, because the forms are promulgated as, I mean, you wouldn't think about something like this, but something like a marriage license is a prescribed, not proscribed. She wants them proscribed, but the form itself is a prescribed form. And this is a little bit arcane, but as Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz noted, states manage the issue of marriage, just like states manage the issue of wills. They're creatures of statute.
Pretty sure Ted Cruz educated us on that the other night.
The state says what shall constitute not just a valid marriage, but a valid marriage license. And if she dummies up the form, it's no longer a valid marriage license. And not only did she dummy up the form, she did it in a sort of petulant, whiny, Christian persecuted kind of way, where at one point she was putting on the form, this license issued by the federal judge.
Oh, yeah, by the federal court order or something.
Yeah, right. So I'm glad you mentioned her, because I've been kind of waiting to see what would happen to her, because she got hailed back into court for all that.
Yeah, I was not aware of that. I thought she was still running around doing what she did. I didn't know the judge had turned around and come back on that. So that's
well, it wasn't the judge. It was the lawyers. It was the ACLU lawyers who represented the original plaintiffs in the case, who are now happily married, I presume.
Right.
So.
Anyways, those were just the two items I wanted to break in and talk about briefly. Mainly the Corser thing, mostly because I don't know how. You know, it seems like everybody knows that around here, just because of where I am, and locally it's been a big thing. I know John Oliver brought it up, so there's probably some knowledge of it out there. I don't know if it's making like the nightly news, but I just thought that was an interesting little peering into the minds of the Tea Partiers that might be interesting to know. That being said, I'm sure you've got other people to get to, Bob. It's great talking to you. I'll try not to be such a stranger.
It's great to hear from you. You know, I think all the way back to that conversation about we had years ago now about the trip through the drive-thru at Wendy's.
Yes. See, the only downside is that right now the connection's breaking up kind of bad. So unfortunately, like I said, I'm only getting about every other word at this point.
Oh, damn.
Kind of the course of the time we've been on the call. I heard the Wendy's drive-thru bit, but like I said, I don't want to tie up the line when there's somebody who could also be talking, and I'm pretty much done at this point. So, like I said, Bob, great talking to you. Hi, everyone out there I haven't talked to in forever. I'll try not to be a stranger, and I'm looking forward to this election season. Between Bernie Sanders and Trump, it's looking to be kind of entertaining at this point, and the clown bus has just been hilarious.
It's a laugh a minute. Vince, take care, be good, and yeah, don't be such a stranger. It's excellent hearing from you.
You too, Bob. Talk to you later.
Bye now. Okay, so maybe there's bandwidth issues. Let's see. Before we get another call through, let me do a little something here. Maybe that'll make it a little more sane next time. Vince has been part of the Horn community for a very, very long time. Just got sort of eaten alive by work and... Well, but that's what the Horn is here for. I mean, when you get to the point where you just can't take it anymore, you know, you do a little conversation, you feel better, you take a breath. letting go now, letting everything go. See how easy it is? And yes, by golly, Sparky has indeed folded space and appears in the chat room now as Man Cave. And welcome. Welcome to Doubting Tom in the chat room. Also, Doubting Tom over at FYI Nation. Awfully proud to have you here and have me there. And I'll try to be a little bit more right on the money in terms of getting things started at the right time and ended at the right time, so it won't be quite so complicated. So, yeah, let's do check that out real quick. Sister Clerk Kim Davis went on the Good Morning America oddly enough, morning. Let me see if I can get that audio up here real quick. Maybe it wasn't this Tuesday. Maybe it's next Tuesday. But she has been hailed back into court. I don't know. But apparently the talking point now is that Sister Clark Kim Davis, who we are reported, who the for-profit media now reports, opened up to ABC News. What did they do? Fire her up with sodium pentothal? Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Let's, where'd you go, Sister Clark Kim? Oh. Yeah, the new thing is that she denied marriage licenses to her friends in the name of Jesus. No, really. Not kidding. And I guess that makes it okay to, you know, crap on people you don't know. Let's see if we can get this tired old machine to cooperate. Hopefully. Cross your fingers. Na, 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 na. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Begin with that ABC News exclusive. Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk who refuses to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples, saying that would violate her Christian beliefs. She spent 6 days in jail for contempt of court, and the ACLU now claims she's interfering with marriages again. This morning, her first interview with our Paula Ferris. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, George. And I spent several hours with her at her Kentucky property. Kim Davis says her religious liberty and her conscience, they go hand in hand. And in her eyes, those licenses being issued right now without her name on them are not valid. She tells me that if it comes down to it, she is prepared to go back to jail.
I have never once spouted a word of hate.
Never.
I've not been hateful. I've had people yelling and screaming and cussing me.
Kim Davis says she never expected to become a household name when she started denying marriage licenses at her county clerk office.
I'm just a normal person.
Now, sister, it is not nice to tell a lie. Your entire thing was a ginned up, rubed up, frauded up, dummied up, carnival midweighed up scam. Well, I mean, you's hoping to get you some of that Memories Pizza action.
That has been touched by the grace of God and His mercy. And, I haven't always been a good person, Paula.
No, she hasn't. Like the time she married that one feller and then divorced him against the word of Jesus. And the time that she married that next feller and divorced him against the word of Jesus and got pregnant by another feller. Divorced and... Sometimes she hasn't been a good person. Yeah, you know, it's the giggle. No, wait. Stop. I know. You'd like me to play the whole clip all the way through, but sometimes I haven't been a good person, and she giggles. Yeah, that was that night up in Ashland. Kind of hard to forget about the duck.
Didn't live for God. I didn't live for Him. And I was real good at living for the devil.
You've been married four times. Mm-hmm. You had children in an adulterous relationship. Mm-hmm. People are calling you a hypocrite. Are you?
No.
No.
I'm forgiven.
See?
Washed clean.
And so 4.5 years ago...
She's washed clean. Yes. She's forgiven. Just like the bumper sticker on the car says, Christian, not perfect, just forgiven. Really? Washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Poor fool wouldn't understand. Interesting with these evangelical fundamentalists, they only understand the parts of the Bible that validate their own bigotries and hatreds. I'm guessing that doesn't really wash with the I mean, if there really is a judgment day at the end of it all, that it just like a paper football. Oh, look, another one. Score one for you, Dad. That one, just, man, she incinerated before she actually got down to the brimstone. Well, I did invent the game, son. Yeah.
And Davis found God. She says she could not separate church from state, believing that a marriage is only between a man and a woman. Davis, who was elected in November as a Democrat, refuses to obey the opinion of the Supreme Court.
Time out. I mean, this is all just exposition. It's not like America doesn't know this. Why? And this is a question for the reporter, not for Sister Clark Kim Davis. Why did we have to work in that as a Democrat part? I mean, granted, you, I, we, us, we've got the political savvy to understand that there are places in this country where if you are going to be elected to office, you have to be a member of one party or the other. Sure, go ahead. You know what? Move down to Mississippi, Stan. Establish residency, and run for the Democratic nomination for governor. It's probably yours for the taking, because everybody understands that whoever runs as the Democratic nominee for governor is going to get pasted to the wall. Because that has become one of the... And it took about 100 years to switch it, and, you know, a little civil rights movement along the way. But you can't get elected dog catcher in Mississippi now if you're a Democrat. And then there's the question that Carol poses. She found God. How is it that the omnipotent, almighty creator of the universe gets lost so much? Have you found Jesus? No, did you lose him again? Ron in Canada noting, I can't wait till she finally breaks down and goes to a hairstylist just to hear, I'm so sorry, honey. It's against my beliefs to give hair treatments to folks like you, no matter how much it's needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, now that we know that she's a Democrat.
Who do you consider your boss? Is your boss God? Is your boss your constituents? Or is your boss the federal government?
Well, my constituents elected me. But the main authority that rules my life is the Lord.
So godly authority trumps all authority in your mind?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about Trump.
So why would you want to remain in this position?
I'm good at my job. Mm-hmm. I have friends who are gay and lesbians. They know where I stand. And we don't agree on this issue.
Then, sister, you're not their friend. I have friends who are dark-skinned. And they know where I stand on this issue. They want to be free, but I feel like God wants me to own them.
And we're okay because we respect each other.
So no, you're not okay.
You deny your friends who are in gay relationships. You would deny them a marriage license as well.
I did. I can't.
Are they allowed in your church, sister?
Put my name on a license that doesn't represent what God ordained marriage to be.
And there are thousands of others
who... Hockey puck! She holds a constitutional office in the state of, in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and has no conception of that Constitution, or the federal Constitution, that trumps the Commonwealth Constitution, than she does of the religion she professes to profess. And meanwhile, our intrepid reporter here somehow didn't find time to go and find any of those mysterious gay friends that she's okay with, and they're okay with her being a homophobic bigot. Marty pointing out, you know, there's not a sincere note in her voice. This is like having to hear Jimmy Swaggart's, "I have sinned against you." Meanwhile, a couple of open questions. What gives her the right to remove the name of the county? God. What gives her the right to remove the deputy clerk's signature, forcing him to merely initial the license? God.
Feel the same way. She's received encouragement from all over the world. Numerous handwritten notes, a handmade prayer shawl, and crosses. But the hate mail came too.
Very vulgar. I've been called Hitler. I've been called a hypocrite. I've been called a homophobe.
Well, you are a homophobe, sister.
What probably hurts me the worst that my God does not love me, or that my God is not happy.
Well, I think there's a credible argument that it isn't, or she isn't, or they aren't. I mean, they are full of love, after all, and you, except for them four hubbies, you know, back when you weren't very good, you didn't seem to be very good at. No. Yep, there they are, right behind the granny glasses. The tears are puddling up. Ah, God, if only the folks down at the Apostolic Holiness Tabernacle and Herpetological Sanctuary would allow her to wear some mascara. Oh, it'd be like an Alice Cooper concert.
With me, that I'm a hypocrite of a Christian.
Davis was released from jail after being behind bars for 6 days, greeting the public emotional rally, even getting the attention of presidential hopeful Mike Huckabee. Now back at work, she's still refusing to put her name on any marriage licenses, forcing her deputies like Brian Mason to take over those duties.
Well, now Brian is signing all of the marriage licenses. Your name is not on those licenses. In your mind, are they still valid?
They're not valid in God's eyes, for one. And
because the all-powerful creator of the universe has determined, because she heard him say so, that she gets to speak for him. You know, Pope Francis could have saved a trip. He doesn't need to be here. I mean, he arrived here today, but I mean, he doesn't need to be here. Because we got Sister Clark Kim Davis to tell us that the only thing that matters is the homos not getting to get married. Isn't she precious?
You know, I think the authority, I have given no authority to write a marriage license. They did not have my permission. They did not have my authorization.
One of the voters who finally received a marriage license said that he finally felt human. That was a direct quote. He was in tears. People will question, why is your moral conscience, Kim, more important than someone else's happiness?
I don't think dignity is guaranteed in the Constitution. I think dignity is something that you find within yourself. I feel.
But what if you find that dignity, and then Sister Clerk Kim Davis, who claims that God speaks to her, comes and takes it away? It's kind of like Jeremy in Vermont says, "I find it odd that God speaks to her, yet if you believe any of the Bible, God hasn't spoken to anyone in many thousands of years, and very few persons at that." You know, Moses, David, Yeshua, Kim Davis. Sure. Well, and then there was that time that he told Oral Roberts he was going to call him home if he didn't raise up enough money to buy a damn jet, or build a wing on the basket weaving department or whatever, Oral Roberts University. You see, we go back to the same old problem. Time and time and time again. To wit, anybody else says they hear voices? it's time for the happy medicine for you. But as long as the voice you hear is God, you're good.
Really sad that someone could be so unhappy with themselves as a person that they did not feel dignified as a human being until they got a piece of paper. I mean, there's just so much more to life than that.
Privilege alert, privilege alert, privilege alert. Because see, in none of those four occasions where she went and got one, did anyone assault her dignity by saying, "No, I'm sorry, you adulterous trollop. You don't get a marriage license because I believe in the Bible." See, nobody did that. And that's one of the fundamental problems with religion, where it is used as a cudgel within government. Religion has an especial power to strip people of their confidence and of their dignity. Yeah. It was the being able to get married that conferred the human dignity. Because up until the Obergefell decision, they had been reduced to a second-class citizen status. You know, we've been over this dignity ground before, haven't we? Because, in fact, it was raised in back during the... back during the debate over the treason rag, wasn't the word dignity raised up? And there was, of course, some Republican right there to say, "Well, just because the slaves got freed, they didn't get no dignity out of it." Check the archives. I'm pretty sure it's there. I mean, I'm getting closer and closer and closer to thinking that there actually is a deity. And she is having a heyday with this. Every word that comes out of this pustule's mouth now is just a self-indictment.
And this is really just the beginning for many clerks across the country. I'm told by Davis's counsel that clerks in over five states are also seeking exemptions. Like Kim Davis, they do not want their names on these gay marriage licenses.
And there have been new complaints, and she sounds pretty defiant there. So she is prepared to go back to jail?
She says she's prepared to go back to jail. She is digging her heels in.
And by the way, the male voice you hear is that of George Snuffleupagus, the man whom Charlie Pierce refers to as simply the Clinton guy shocked by blowjobs. Yeah. And just a language moment. Clerks in over five states. How does something get written like that? Clerks in over five states. I remember a long time ago when I was just a young person learning the art of knowing words, and I was told that the general rule of thumb was that if it was a single number like 1 through 9, you actually typed the number, you know, say 6, but that. And maybe it applied to double digits too, but once you got to that third digit, or maybe it was the second, you got to actually use the numbers. Clerks in over five states. Well, it can't be that many because of the number of states that legalized marriage equality, or not legalized, but acknowledged it. See, this isn't a legalization when you get right down to it. This is an acknowledgement of rights that previously existed but had not heretofore been acknowledged, and that's a big deal. The rights pre-exist the acknowledgement. The entire argument of the abolition movement and frankly, many of the arguments made by Abraham Lincoln were to the effect that freedom is something with which one is entitled to by virtue of getting to be what Kurt Vonnegut Jr. referred to as sitting up mud on this here planet. And that to have it taken away from you is a wrong, a harm, and that when freedom is restored, we are acknowledging the one's rightful status. This is that. Clerks in over 5 states. That either means she wasn't sure if it was 6 or 7. Maybe 8, possibly 9. Which actually means she really kind of, you know, hadn't looked into it. Right. Six minutes past the hour. And checking back to the email. GK says, Bob, let's not forget Dim Leader's conversation with the God. Oh, yeah. Oh, how can we forget? God told me to attack Saddam, and I did. And now God wants me to bring peace to the Palestinians and the Israelites. And so I have to. Funny, it didn't work out quite that way. Yeah. Yeah, Marty says, I like Malloy's name for George Snuffleupagus, Judas. Yeah. And I think that's something that he and Bart Cop both, I think they came up with it in parallel or it crossed over or something. Yeah. I miss Bart Cop. I still miss Bart Cop. Badly. Jack in Shreveport with a note says, Bob, yet again, in Kim Davis, we see a conservative selfishness and inability to empathize. The only time she mentioned the other people involved, she said that they don't need marriage licenses anyway. I missed part of what you said, but she sounds like a Dino to me. Well, she's exactly that, and I'm sure the overtures have been made. Yeah, come on over to the teabaggers, Kim. Obviously, you're one of us. And if she decides she can get away with it, she will. Because I'm sure she's pro-life, too. Right? Right. Lines open, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. That's the stress line named for the inimitable, unforgettable Bill Mr. Stress Miller. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. I've got a musical interlude for us. You probably won't hear this on any other program. Not because I'm special or nothing, but because, well, everybody doesn't have Titanic Tuesday. Now, we all know everything that's been going on with the right wing and their imaginary Planned Parenthood outrage. And I've told you before how many right wing pitches I get on any given day. Oh, there I was, minding my own business, getting ready for Dr. Bill this morning. This thing landed at 11:42 a.m., courtesy of Kay Winston. And the subject line was, New Song Addresses Planned Parenthood Controversy. I didn't immediately recognize it as being a right-wing pitch, but given what comes into my email box, there was a pretty good chance it would be, so I opened it up. You know, I had the bleach ready and everything, and the and the latex gloves and the biohazard suit and right, because you know, wing nuts. Now let me say at the outset, you're gonna want the hockey puck for this and the duct tape. Oh God, you really are. So what it turns out is this is an email pitch for a right-wing religion industry grifter trying to climb up a couple of rungs into the real money. Okay, desperate to get up into the Joyce Myers, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland prosperity gospel hustle. No selling potato soup buckets for this dude. No. New song addresses Planned Parenthood controversy. Reverend Promise Dixon decided to re-release the song Killers. Oh, re-release? What? Yeah. After Planned Parenthood's summer scandal rocked the nation. Rock, 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 rocking the nation. Reverend Promise Dixon decided to re-release the song Killers to address the issue, inspired by a vision and the desire to move people from a place of complacency to one of action. It's the re-release part that got me. The first time he tried this hustle, it didn't work, so he's re-releasing it. With Planned Parenthood recently making headlines for a controversy involving the sale of fetal body parts. A controversy that exists only in the fetid imaginations, the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears of weirdo little pasty-faced doughy white-wingers that otherwise replaces normal people's brains. It is a topic on everyone's minds. Okay, I added a lot of that. Reverend Promise Dixon has responded to these events through song, re-releasing a song titled Killers. Re-releasing. Reverend Promise Dixon is the 10th of 14 children. He grew up in Comanche Apartments Projects on the north side of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was raised by both of his parents, Thurman and Dora Ann Dixon. After experiencing many twists and turns in his life, shake it up, baby, twist and shout, I'm just trying to work the music theme here, you understand, resulting in dropping out of high school in 11th grade, Dixon went on to graduate from Rima Bible Training Center. He is now completely competent to train Bibles. Now he travels the nation, speaks in churches, doing forums, blogging, and concerts. Recently, he has launched his own series of seminars, Provoking Thought and Bringing Change. Now, see, here's the fun part. This is a press release. I've just read it to you, most of it. So, somewhere along the way, Reverend Promise Dixon had the bucks to hire K. Winston, initial, not K-A-Y, but initial K. Winston, to try to hustle the re-release of Killers, which apparently flopped like a carp out of water the first time through. But he thought maybe if he could ride on the backs of the precious little fetuses, that maybe he could get a little coin out of it. And as the Minister of Music says on Wednesdays, and it's all tax-free. Yeah. So, Odysseus-like, lash yourself to the mast. Trust me, the Sirens, Scylla, and Charybdis, all rolled into one, were nothing compared to this. Oh no, not by a long shot. Have I given you enough warning? Yeah? 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 Okay. Don't say I didn't. Here we go. Killers. Re-released.
Abortion is murder. When you get to heaven, there are going to be multiplied millions of people who will stand before God. These are the aborted ones. In America, over 30 million. And they will come before God and say, what would I have been had I been permitted to live? And God will say, you would have been the physician that discovered the solution for cancer. And you would have led the earth in a great spiritual revival. But you were not permitted to live because Americans who worship the God of self, under the conscience, under the clause of pro-choice, decided to snuff your life out.
Okay, time out. Because you can't just let that slide by. You ever notice when is it me or was he sampling pastor, brother, minister, Reverend John Starve Hagee? Because it sounded a lot like Hagee. Starve. You ever notice how these fetus fetishists? I understand, Arthur. I understand. Arthur says, I wear the tennis ball all show long. Every program. Why do you think I don't call? Yeah, I get it. But the fetus fetishists, did you ever notice the God's not up there going, well, you would have been the next Hitler. And you would have been the next Stalin. And hey, look, there's the next Pol Pot. Oh, look, it's the next Charlie Manson. Oh, goodness, right over there, the next Jeffrey Dahmer. No, let's not let the girl babies out. Hey, look, it's the next Lizzie Borden. Funny, no. Because all of the... I mean, how does that work? I mean, either biologically or theologically, how is it that if a little wad of tissue gets aborted, how is it that God always sees to it that it was a good baby? And, you know, not Stalin. I mean, can we all reach a consensus here that the world would have been better off without Stalin, without Hitler? Well, wait a minute. I didn't even, what was it, 817? Yeah, 817. Damn it, Gerald! How is it the precious little fetuses are never the next Cortez? Yeah, I know. Like I said, yes, Devin, absolutely. Terror. Wait, we're going to have a reverb to this.
Terror of the zygotes.
Exactly, Devin, exactly. But it's a naughty, K-N-O-T-T-Y, not N-A-U-G-H-T-Y. It's the N-A-U-G-H-T-Y that gets them in the, right. It's a naughty philosophical and theological problem. Jack in Shreveport asks, wait a second, isn't the goal to get to heaven anyway? I guess the aborted babies got the express bus and didn't have to suffer here on earth. I mean, sinless. Boom, wings, harp, halo. Right hand to God. It's right there. Yeah, anyway. Arthur points out, Terror of the Zygotes, worst Star Trek OS episode ever. And there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. So now that we've, okay, Bob down in Texas, bingo. You could have been the next Dick Cheney. Let him not be born. Really? Next George Bush, better off. Next Ted Cruz, next Bill, T-Rump, next Scott. How many people who have been effed out of their good jobs in Wisconsin wish Scott Walker had never been born? Yeah, right. You get it. Okay, so the re-release of Killers. Maybe it's been remixed and remastered up from the original mono of 1947. No, I don't think. Oh, by the way, let me just let you know, you're the lucky one. You're not sitting here watching, because, of course, it couldn't be an anti-abortion video without lots of gory and disgusting and supper ruining photos of, fetal tissue. There's a little thing that looks like it might be a little baby Wolverine, whose head is apparently as big as a dime. Yeah, boy, that's fully formed human life right there. Wait, we're going to rip off Marvin Gaye now? I don't think the re-release is going to go any better than the first release did. What's going on?
A summer night, the stars in the sky shine bright. A young couple having sex under the moonlight. What is this I see? It appears as if their future is them. I see a full-grown tree without any leaves or limbs. Disaster. They have an intercourse, of course they are. A night of hot, heated sex, and they both depart. Now watch, lust for love as they talk on the telephone. Hear the lies of a man as he talks you all night long. Everywhere he goes, she goes. The only thing he wants to do is to continue to take off her clothes. Time passes and things change, but little does she know this is the beginning of her hurting pain. It's 5 a.m, she's feeling sick in her stomach. She's having early morning sickness and she vomits in a toilet stool. Besides that, she missed her monthly.
Okay, so I gotta point something out here. I know. Obviously, we are working within a certain genre. And once we get past the pictures of the blood-sodden fetal tissue. And by the way, while they're having the hissy about Planned Parenthood, where's the hissy about placental tissue? Just asking. That has its uses, too. Hello, collagen. No, Marty. Marty writes, who is this, LL Cool J? No, this is... Reverend Promise Dixon with the re-release of Killers. Got to get that re-release part in there. Second verse, same as the first. The song so lousy they released it. No, that doesn't rhyme. Yeah, Carol, that's a dandy. Ooh, Japanese horror flick, Zygote versus Vagzilla. But no, so after we get past all the fetal tissue, lucky you didn't have to see it. Then we get to all the pictures of white people in intimate situations. You know, there he was, a rutting on my mailer. It's all white folks. You know, he mentions the morning sickness thing there. And it's a picture of a little brunette white girl with her head a-laying on the toilet who looks like, she doesn't look morning sick to me. She looks like a stock photo of girl who drank too much tequila last night. Yeah. This is an awesome track. I mean, I think this is going to be big in all the clubs.
Administration for sexual gratification. Now she's filled with so much frustration. Preacher's daughter's on the edge.
Another white chick.
She told her boyfriend she's pregnant, and this is what he says. Here's $300. See a doctor and kill the child. I'm getting my bachelor's degree. I don't have time to be your father now. I thought you loved me, she replied. You mean the love that we shared? You mean to tell me all of that was lies? He walks away, but she begs him to stay.
Wait, time out! I thought this was supposed to be, according to the press release that he paid for with money that came in tax-free. In it, he addresses the issue of Planned Parenthood, inspired by a vision that he had many years before the controversy ever broke. This has been laying around for a while. I had to blow the dust off before the re-release. He had a dream in which he was covered up to his neck in a pool of blood. I think you can see a psychologist for that. Promise, yeah, which he describes as being more like an ocean of blood. Oh, okay, pool, ocean, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Reverend Dixon recounts, in this ocean of blood, I saw small fingers, arms, legs, and feet, and I was so afraid. And once again, we've got God talking to people. The Lord, he says, thanks for inserting that he says, Kay Winston. It came to him in the vision to save him from the ocean of blood, and when he asked the Lord what it was, he told him, This is the blood of thousands upon thousands of innocent unborn babies who were killed throughout this nation and the world. You know, interesting that it wasn't the blood of unborn babies who starved due to nightmarish U.S. Foreign policy in, say, the Iraq War. Or it's not the blood of babies who have died for want of access to medical care in a country that thinks that health care is something that that somebody should be able to make a profit off of. No. God's not worried about those babies or their blood. God's worried about the little fetuses. Yeah. And so he said, this is a unique story because you always hear about the woman's perspective, but never from the perspective of a man who actually paid for the abortions. Is Reverend Promise Dixon saying that he's paid for the occasional abortion? It's kind of hard to know, isn't it? Did this happen when he was learning to train Bibles at the Rima Bible Training Center? I thought Rima made air conditioners. Never mind. Yeah, and then there's the whole $300 thing. Never having paid for one, but still, in the modern, well, as Carol notes, $300. Where are these people getting their Walmarted abortions? I mean, I don't think an abortion's been $300 since a pound of weed was. 200. And a fifth of Jack was a buck and a quarter. And it's the pound of weed and the fifth of Jack. Right. But I thought this was supposed to be about the man's perspective, but damn, there he is projecting himself into the mind of the woman, right?
See, he was just a hunter, and she was just another prey. She feels all alone, she picks up the telephone. She wants to call home, but she feels like all hope is gone. See, her father is a pastor of a church, and if he knew his girl was pregnant, he would truly be crushing her. So-
oh, well, maybe that part's true. And I will defer to the expertise of Jeremy in Vermont. Scarface wouldn't enjoy this bad copying of dirty Southern rap. Listen, don't be dissing. Ooh, I rhymed. Maybe there's hope. I mean, it takes a lot of talent to rhyme alone and gone. I mean, that's right up there with when Steve Miller rhymed Texas with what the facts is. I can hardly wait for this to not be over. What?
So instead of calling mom and dad, she took the $300 that she had and killed her baby.
Kill us.
And we're back to the pictures again. Oh, there's the Wolverine.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Now we're ripping off Marvin Gaye some more.
Kill us.
Oh, wait. So here's a picture of a brick wall. God. With the same kind of font that you expect to see advertising, you know, payday lending, car title, cash while you wait. Because, you know, this is really out there. Quick same-day abortions, 100% guarantee, safe and pain-free, free body and blood detoxification. Call doctor in JHB. Trenchant question coming in. Quick, same day. God damn, these people are so far over the top they can't see where they came from. If they're already out in the, they're in the Third Valley over by now. Oh, Roger with a question. Does this version include video of him depositing those Coke Bro checks, or is that just the rest of his fantasy? Oh, I don't think it's necessarily fantasy. Of course, the Koch brothers don't necessarily get involved in all that social, cultural stuff. They just back politicians who do. Oh, wait a minute. Shh. Be very quiet. We don't want to startle him. Toaster this evening to Michael and Madison. Wait, Bob. Is this a rap about why Scott Walker dropped out of Marquette University? Earther, meanwhile, says, I don't like abortion. It has too much contortion. Hey, baby, don't use the wire hanger when we do our little banger. Don't quit your day job, Earther. Why Scott Walker dropped out of Marquette University? Back to those quick same day abortions.
Picture me in my mother's womb, not knowing doomsday is fixing to come my way real soon. I was tormented and killed, for real. If I had a choice in this matter, I would have chosen to live.
Picture me in the womb. I don't have a fully formed spinal column. I don't have a neurological system. But I'm still doing lots of heavy thinking. Yeah, I know. There's no future for me. Not in that. No. But you'll be interested to know that the instant I saw this, and I don't often write back to these freaks. But I couldn't resist. The instant that I actually gave this a little bit of the finite time with which I have been gifted to be upon this planet, sitting up mud, remember? I immediately wrote to Kay Winston and said, thank you for sharing this. We are going to have so much fun with this tonight on the Horn. Send more if you got it. This will be the laugh riot of the week. I mean, I just want them to know that their work is not in vain. Hey, by the way, do you think he? Do you, Is there any possibility that dude has these nightmares with these pools of blood that are really oceans of blood? I mean, remember, he clarified. Because he sits around obsessing about it so much. I mean, there are people out there with far more experience with psychology than have I. But I'm just sort of guessing here as a layman that when you obsess about stuff in your conscious life, you leave a lot of stuff for your brain to defrag in your sleep. Because, I mean, that's kind of what dreaming is, isn't it? Isn't it just defragging the hard drive that is your brain? Okay, it's a wet drive. But it really... I mean, like, Reverend Promise Dixon, buddy. Go to a ball game. Go roller skating, for God's sakes. Go do something besides obsessing about what some woman does with the workings of her reproductive organs. I mean, really, get a hobby. Build models. Macrame. Anything. Scrapbooks, please. And stay the hell out of the... Ixnay on the according Ray Udio stay.
I'm just a little baby, help me to understand how my body was ripped apart, left dead in the garbage can. There's so much pain I felt. My arms are ripped from my body, and I couldn't even help myself. My tears.
Wait, now isn't he kind of bogarting the rhythms, if not the words, but the rhythms of the intro song to the Fresh Prince of Bel Air? I mean, really. Oh, dear God, Ron, what are you talking about? Bob, Carol and I agree that the absolute best way to broaden your listenership would be to add a simple webcam to the broadcast so that all your Skype viewers can benefit from your magnificence when in full flight. You mean with the hand gestures and stuff? And the chair dancing? Oh, no. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Oh, and another admittedly petty rhetorical question. Why is it that some of the most unattractive people are such sinners? How do they get so much opportunity? Are we taking parking for parking lot interactions at the Saturday Square dances out at the Cinder Block building on the outskirts of town? I mean, you know, the place where some people are giving up while others are giving in? And I agree, Ron, that last one may be one of your best lines ever. Ooh, and I thought I was cold. Ron says, hey, wait a minute. Let's go back to head the size of a dime. I think we're talking future fundy here. Yeah, see, that's the problem, Ron noting. Of course, Bob, you have to wear pants when you're on camera. And I just got a hearty suck it up buttercup from Carol. Oh, God. Oh, and well, that's just great. Now I've got to add currency conversion back into my repertoire. Because remember, we started at 550. We're working our way toward having raised 300 of it this evening. We got $11 to go. Hey, that's nice. Arthur says, you know, if I won the lottery, you could afford solar and top-notch equipment, and we could have an occasional regular spot with Ferg and or Agnes, Viking Warrior Princess. Oh, I love the idea. Oh, let's see. Let me do the currency conversion. Working. you so... Oh, golly Moses. Oh, I'm going to be doing some cipher. I may have to cipher for the rest of the evening now. Okay, so we just crossed the $300 mark. And let's see, to the next $100, it is, Wait a minute. Carry the pie. So we are at, have I got this right? $77.12 to go to the next 100. Or we could say, no, we can't because I can't do any more. And we've got a song to finish here, damn it. But thank you. Thank you very kindly. I promise it's almost over.
It flows, but no one knows. I thought this pain would stop, but instead, this pain grows.
So we faded out on it. I guess it went on forever and ever and ever. But they want you to know that you can go to iTunes, not Tunes. This must be something where only, like, fundy anti-abortion people go. You can go to iTunes and purchase the single Killer and Killers and remember, and it's the re-release, okay? I mean, if you've got the earlier one, it's not going to be the same. This is the re-release. And you can purchase the single Killers and, yes, and it's all tax-free. Okay, so goodbye. Goodbye. Don't ever have to. I don't know. Maybe this is the guy who really will release Meet the Featles. Yes, yes, I know. I know, Carol. That's why I do it. She says, I get a certain sadistic pleasure from listening to you cipher suffer. That one really hurt. But it's a good kind of pain. It's a fun kind of pain. Because after all, you know, you heard about what happened when the sadist and the masochist got together, right? The masochist said, hurt me, and the sadist said, no. Whew, that's an old one. Old one. So here we go. We've got about 16 minutes to go in the program. If you'd like to, wrap up the program in conversation, you're welcome to 304-663-HORN or 304-574-8178 or Bob Kincaid Horn, Skype to Skype. Yeah. That is not, however, to say that we don't have stuff to cover. Just as a for instance, here's a group of people that the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, anti-abortion people don't care about. Little Afghan boys. You see, they've already been born. You want a quote that'll kind of screw up your day. At night, we can hear them screaming, but we're not allowed to do anything about it. At night, We can hear them screaming, but we're not allowed to do anything about it. You know, this isn't fiction. This isn't from some movie. This isn't Anthony Hopkins looking at Jodie Foster and saying, "Can you still hear the lambs, Clarice?" No. This is reality. This is Afghanistan. This is some of the bile that was vomited forth when we opened up the yawning jaws of hell in that poor, poor country. Because, see, those were the words. Notice the verb tense, please. Those were the words of Lance Corporal Gregory Buckley Jr. of the United States Marine Corps. Back in 2012, before he was shot to death, Lance Corporal Gregory Buckley Jr. told his father, Gregory Buckley Sr., he said those words to him and told him about how the Afghan military commanders that were being trained and funded with American taxpayer dollars had a, shall we say, taste for raping little boys. Gregory Buckley Sr. advised his Lance Corporal son to take it up the chain of command, to be honorable about it. And he did. Gregory Buckley Sr. says, "My son said that his officers told him to look the other way because it's their culture." Really? Because I thought we invaded Afghanistan and killed a lot of people because it was the Taliban who were the barbarians. Because, see, this is not the Taliban who's raping the little boys. These are the good guys raping the little boys. Joseph Goldstein, writing a couple of days ago in the New York Times, notes that rampant sexual abuse of children has long been a problem in Afghanistan, particularly among armed commanders who dominate much of the rural landscape and can bully the population. They've got a name for it in the local tongue. It's called bacha-bazi. Bacha-bazi, in case you're wondering and before you run off to Google, bacha-bazi means boy play. Because once the high brass got over to Afghanistan, they began learning about the Afghan culture. And one of the things they found out is that powerful men there like to rape little boys because it's a status symbol. Joseph Goldstein continues, "American soldiers and Marines have been instructed not to intervene, in some cases not even when their Afghan allies have abused boys on military bases." According to interviews and court records, several Marines and soldiers' careers have been ruined over this. Dan Quinn got relieved of his Special Forces Command when he beat the living shit out of a U.S.-trained, U.S.-paid, U.S.-funded, U.S.-supported Afghan tribal leader who had chained a little boy to his bed as a sex slave. Dan Quinn, that I referenced a minute ago, a captain, a commissioned officer, Special Forces, told the Times, the reason we were here is because we heard the terrible things the Taliban were doing to people, how they were taking away human rights. But we were putting in people into power who would do things that were worse than the Taliban did. That was something village elders voiced to me. Because, see, the village elders who were having their little boys raped didn't like that. I mean, this is one, and you know me, I'm hard on organized religion. This is one you can't palm off on Islam. Because I'm pretty sure that Allah doesn't approve either. And yeah, the story notes that after he beat the living hell out of the little boy raper, the army relieved Captain Quinn of his command. Then they pulled him from Afghanistan, and he has since abandoned his career in the military. When arguably, I think you kind of want the occasional Captain Quinn, Dan Quinn, in the military. You know, a guy with morals. At present, the United States Army is also trying to cashier Sergeant First Class Charles Martland, also a member of Special Forces, who helped out a little bit when Captain Quinn was beaten the living hell out of a rapist who desperately deserved it. New York Times being New York Times, they can reach out for response from the high brass. And Colonel Brian Tribbus, who is the spokesman for the American command in Afghanistan, said, generally, allegations of child sexual abuse by Afghan military or police personnel would be a matter of domestic Afghan criminal law. There would be no express requirement that U.S. military personnel in Afghanistan report it. Unless, of course, rape was being used as a weapon of war. But, you know, when you've got a little boy just chained to your bed there, I mean, and you're just raping him because it's a cultural thing, that's not using rape as a weapon of war. You can read the rest of the article. It is worth mentioning, however, that, say, Lindsay, oh my goodness, John, I'll be here under the fainting couch with a mint julep. When Lindsey Graham says that he wants to arm the rebels in Syria, probably the same kind of folks. Roger points out, you know, it kind of explains the spike in veteran suicides, those screams. He also points out, now that it's public knowledge about the boy play, think back to the Gitmo prisoners describing what they were put through as being unspeakable. If boy play was so common, what then qualifies as unspeakable? What indeed? What indeed? Hey, thank you, Thomas. I am proud to announce that we have just made up that 7712. So that's all but $150 of the hole we're in. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you kindly. Note coming in from Danny. Hi, Bob. As a practicing freelance abortionist for over 20 years, I can tell you that technology has come such a long way that I should be able to provide one while you're still in your car within the next 5 years. The topic now of the boys in Afghanistan is just revolting. War is more hellish than most people even know. How in the hell does one sleep knowing this is going on and hearing the screams? Well, the young man who heard the screams isn't hearing them anymore. He was killed. But of course, the generals, the guys with the really fancy costumes, they never hear the screams. They just say, look the other way, son. It's cultural. Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Did you bail out on me? You bailed out on me. Okay, let's check in with Ron. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Oh, no, not that.
What? What?
It's the audio gremlin.
Bye, bye, Bob.
Sorry, Ron.
Bye.
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 Little tech issues up that way. By the way, a little reminder. Jim Dandy conversation coming your way for prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. I'm not going to give away any more than that. But I think you will enjoy it, because we don't do a lot of conversations here that aren't just, you know, the community. Ordinary, extraordinary people. This will be pretty extraordinary by itself. So make sure you're here tomorrow evening. Thank you very kindly, one and all, for joining in for the conversation this evening. Again, welcome. Welcome, one and all, to the FYI Nation, FYINation.com, as they have added the horn to their lineup live in their rotation. Welcome. Hope you're enjoying it. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox and Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, Ben Birch, serving out millions and millions and millions of hours of progressive conversation over the years. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACAC, ACHEACT.org. Yes. And always, always, always. Wait a minute. Where'd it go? Gina. It's all for you.